Morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. James J. behind this microphone, Melissa K. over on that one.
Good morning, good morning.
And we got Seth Habegger on this one to my right.
Good morning, everyone.
We hope you're having a great start to your day out there, everybody. Thank you so much for kicking it off with us. It's already been a jam-packed, fun show.
Yeah.
And we still got an hour left, everybody.
What can we do?
Oh, what can we do?
That well, laugh. The right hand over here.
Yes. That laugh of yours was wonderful, Melissa. That was a perfect macabre laugh. That was really good.
That was a cackle. That is called a cackle. Yes.
Yeah, that was good.
I'll own that.
That was good. A little bit later, I want to get into this article Mel sent over about the 12 dishes of Christmas and how they tie into a Polish tradition. I think that'd be fun. That's an interesting one.
Interesting.
Yeah, very cool.
I did not get to completely read the article full all in completely. I read most of it and everything, so I'm looking forward to going into that with you, Mel. Right now, never have I ever. Never have I ever. I think this is one of the more popular, what would you call games that don't really have a board or you don't draw something, you don't really do anything, but you talk. They're a game you talk out.
Like charades or something like
Truth
that.
Truth or dare, charades, never have I ever. These kind of fun, would you call these like teenager games or rite of passage games maybe?
Well, I don't know. Maybe there isn't one. We should come up with something.
I'm thinking, now that we're talking about it and stuff, I'm thinking, we don't really have a name for this category of games, but they are a rite of passage. I mean, every teenager has played. I love these things that, like, it doesn't matter if you grew up like I did in the projects, or you grew up in like Seth did in the mid, you know, wherever you did, you played these games.
Yep,
yeah,
exactly.
Like Truth or Dare.
Another
good one. Yep.
Yeah. What's the longest you've gone wearing the same underwear? BuzzFeed recently did a Never Have I Ever poll on their website, and tens of thousands of people voted. And when asked about underwear, 40% of people claimed they have never worn the same underwear multiple days in a row.
These people are called liars.
Yep, they are called liars. Yep. They are lying right to your face.
Yes.
That or men. One or the other. Definitely lying.
They're all single men, too.
They definitely still, definitely.
For a reason.
Or newly single men, one or the other. Yeah. Here are some other results.
Okay.
23% claim they have never cheated on a test.
I can believe more.
I cannot. I would not be able to say that. I'll be completely honest.
I think I can say that. I don't think I ever cheated on a test.
So. I don't remember when or what or anything like that, but I guess I can't say for sure that I did, but knowing me, I probably did. I probably
err on the side of caution.
Yeah, it's probably just best to do. 10% claim they have never told a secret that they weren't supposed to share.
10%.
10%.
That actually, I can believe only, I mean, that's a small amount
of
people.
That's a small number.
And I think that would actually be true. Mm-hmm. That'd be true.
I could generally say that. I can say that I've never told in I got a pretty good memory on this one. And don't believe I ever have.
Well, then you're a better man than I, because I have. It was, I felt terrible about it afterwards, but I have done it. So, unfortunately.
It's I don't even know if I deserve a lot of credit for it. It's my family. I can't express how much loyalty means in my family.
Oh,
like
I'm sure.
How embedded it is in just our family and our culture and all that.
Right.
And I take that very. I've been told many times loyal to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of those scenarios where maybe I take it too far sometimes with some stuff.
I don't think it counts when you told something that you didn't know was secret and then got in trouble for it afterwards.
No, that's different.
Agreed.
I agree with you on that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something
else. That was a big one that happened when I was a kid, and can't tell you the fallout from that.
Oh, really?
Wow. Not good.
No, no. Feel free on that.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Ooh. Oh, I just about spilled my coffee completely on my lap.
Yeah.
I caught it.
You caught it.
Nicely done.
There is very few reasons in life I have these hands. This is it.
Like, to catch things that are falling. Yeah. Yes.
12% say that they have never Googled themselves.
that makes sense. I'm surprised it's not a little higher, actually.
Yeah. I actually would think that that seems about right, but I'm with you. I could see it going higher. Mm-hmm. I do also, though, love the idea. I know how common these terms are, mm-hmm. but I just love the idea of somebody out there listening that has no idea what Google is and what Google them. I don't know if they could say that on the air. Yeah. I'm not sure you can talk about that on the air. What is it Googling? I gotta look up what that.
Or they only know the mathematical thing. That's like, oh, it's a one followed by 100 zeros. Yeah, okay, I know what that is.
It's different than ogling.
Very true. Very true. 11% claim that they have never went number one in the shower.
Wait, what was the percentage on that?
11%.
11%. Okay. 11%. All right.
I don't know about that.
I believe that.
I could see that, but again, I come back to my fellow species of man, and I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
You know, it's. That's one of those things I could see that because there are germaphobes out there that would be like, yes. No, I can't.
Yeah.
People whose showers don't drain properly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that would be another.
That would be one. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Only 31% said that they have never dropped their phone in the toilet.
31%?
That's a big number, I would think. To me, that seems a big number.
I've known one person who did it, not to name any names, my sister. she doesn't listen. She doesn't know about that.
Right.
But that's the only person I know that's actually done that.
Oh, now. I've done it.
Oh, you've done it too?
Oh, I've definitely done it, yeah. I may have done it more than once. Now, thankfully, thank God, and knocking on wood and all the things my mother would do superstitiously, it has not happened after I've already used the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, same thing with
thank
my sister.
So it was a quote-unquote clean.
Yes. Well, at least cleaner. Yeah.
Yes.
Is there a quicker, like obviously there is, I'm saying this rhetorically, but is there a quicker reaction out of you when your phone falls in snow or water?
No.
I don't think that we respond quicker as human beings to most anything in life than we do. Oh, no. Yeah. I don't care if your phone costed $10 or $100. You're definitely doing that. Diving in.
Yes, because
where do you buy your phones? Let's try like 200 or 1,000.
Yeah, right? It's much more accurate.
Don't ask him that.
I know a guy.
Yeah. I know a guy. Oh. Hey, forget about it.
Just looking at BuzzFeed here, where you can go for this entire game if you want to play it yourself and see where stats land and all that.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, there's a couple more here. Like, never have I ever embarrassed myself trying to look cool in front of someone I liked.
Well, I think that's everybody.
I have definitely done that. 81% of people say that they have. 19% say that they have not.
Yeah, that.
They just don't like anybody.
I never liked anyone, so why would I do that?
Never have I ever found money on the street and kept it.
No.
I did this not on the street, in a Shopko. My papa and I, we had this routine for forever. Mm-hmm. My nana went to services on Saturdays, and the church she went to was right by Shopko, the Shopko that used to be here in Rapids.
Right.
And then while nana was at service, papa and I would go to Shopko. And we go there one time, and we just got there, and we're walking, and I looked down, and there was a $20 bill. And wow. I look down and I look at my papa right away, you know, because I'm trying to see what I should do here. Because I know what I would do when I was a kid.
Gauge the reaction.
Yeah,
right?
Yep. I know what kid me would do. Snatch that up as quick as humanly possible and look around to see if anybody saw me grab it.
Yeah.
But I look at my papa and he didn't even have to say anything. I just looked at him and I was like, okay. And we were right by the front, like that, you know, the concierge front desk kind of thing where you take returns and all that.
Yep.
We walked over there and I said to the lady, I found this. And she's like, oh, honey, you just keep it. So I just kept it. I looked at Papa. He gave me the green light, and I kept it.
But, yep, there you go.
So I don't know if that counts, but to be fair, if Papa wasn't there, probably would have kept it. Being honest with everybody. I'm not proud of that, but I'll be honest.
And a lot of the times it's like a dollar. You know, it's like a little bit of change.
Yeah, like a quarter, a nickel. Yeah.
And I don't think anyone's going to be, you know, if it's like several hundred dollars, then it'd be like something.
A little different.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm going to say I have on this.
Yeah.
76% of people say that they have. Yeah. 24% say that they have not.
Okay.
I was super impressed when I used to was the administrative assistant at the high school. I had students, this happened more than once, where they would bring cash into the office that was dropped in the hallway. And sometimes it was a significant amount of cash.
Mm.
And they'd bring it to the office and say, I found this.
Wow.
And I would hang on to it and try to, you know, like, in a way, announce that there was, you know, found amount of money. Yeah. And if you're able to come to the office and identify the amount of money lost, we'll give it to you.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
without actually saying that.
Yep.
But yeah, then I'd always keep track of who turned it in. And if it never got claimed, I'd give it to them.
There you go.
Hmm. This one could be interesting. I'm guessing that Seth is kind of boxed out of this one. Sorry, but
that's fine.
Never have I ever dumped someone over text.
You are correct. Never have I ever done that.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
Yes.
I have had this done to me, but I have never done this. The person who did this to me, we used to make, I did it for 3 years, and one of our oldest jokes was making fun of people that did this.
Oh, no.
and then she did this to me while I was on the air, mind you.
Oh.
Ooh.
That's even more cowardly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah, it was rough. I ain't going to lie. It was a rough one.
Mm-hmm.
I have never done this. I never would do something like that. It ain't easy. Nobody likes doing these kind of things or being in these situations. But if you cared about the, I don't care if you were dating for, like, if you were dating for like a month or something, maybe then or whatever. But if you've been seeing each other for any good amount of time.
Exactly.
You cared about the person at some point, you know, have some respect for themselves and yourself. You know, I mean, to handle this like a human being and you know, but I don't know. Now, I will. Go ahead, Mel.
In my defense, he wouldn't answer his phone, and he wouldn't come to his door. So that was my only option.
Okay, so I can see that.
All right, Mel, I got to ask. Do you think that was his, like, that was his game plan? Like, he thought if he avoided
actually,
you?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm guessing he was, yeah.
Yeah, he was.
That's what popped into my brain, yeah.
Yep.
He was trying to avoid it by doing that, and yep.
Yep. And then a year later, when I ran into him on the street, he's like, what? What? Jeez. What, you got a problem with me? Like, no, dude, I don't want to have a problem with you.
Yeah,
grow up.
Yeah, I literally don't want to have anything to do with you.
And the other person I happen to be walking with, you want me to beat him up?
Nice.
No, actually, I don't.
You're lucky about chicks here.
What? So this one, the results from this one, 64% of people say that they have done, I have never done this, 36% say that they have.
Wow, so that's higher than I thought it would be for the have done.
Hey, but there's mitigating reasons, guys, come on.
Yeah.
As I just explained.
I will say this does not count bad relationships, like, you know, violent relationships, those kind of things. We're not talking about that. People break up
through
text on those things for a reason, safety reasons and that. I think that's a whole other conversation.
You know, James, I think this is going to play into, you know, can you have a right hand that's engaged in moral turpitude? I mean, seriously. just think about it. I'm just saying.
I will think about it, but I also ask you do know who you're talking to, right? You do. I mean, it is me. It is me. It is amazing. It might actually help her. It might actually.
I want it fair and square, Seth, just for one day. Can't you just give it to me?
No.
There's two more I want to do here. Never have I ever lied about my age.
I've never lied about my age.
Hey, Melissa?
The other way.
Okay.
Just, you know, jokingly.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Sure.
How old are you? 157.
Okay. That doesn't count. That's pretty ridiculous, but yes.
I never have, and I actually lost work because of it.
Oh.
My second agent, she wanted me to tell everybody I was 31, 32 at the time. She wanted me to tell everybody I was 27. Anytime anybody asked, I was 27. Now, not just in, like, casting directors and everything. She meant, like, in day-to-day life. Like, Seth, you asked me how old I am, and you're looking at me, and you're like, okay, he is not 27. But
live
the
lie, James.
Yeah, apparently, yes. Yeah. And we just, we ended up, I wouldn't do this and everything, and she found out and ended up dropping me as an agent, as a client.
Because you wouldn't lie. Well, I think that was a good thing in the end. Does that sound like a very kosher agent?
No. Kind of dodged a bullet.
No, yeah, I think you did, yeah.
But I have never lied about my age. Now, obviously, like what Melissa was saying, joking about it, sure.
Yeah,
we all
right.
do that, but
yeah.
Let's see here how the results turned out for this one. 57% say that they have, and 43% say that they have not.
That's pretty even.
That's not so
interesting.
Bad.
Yeah. Wow.
not too bad. And one more here, because this is a guilty pleasure. Or not a guilty pleasure. This is a I'm getting a guilty pleasure out of putting this one out there to see the responses. Never have I ever used someone else's toothbrush.
Okay. To preface this, I have never knowingly done it.
Thank you.
But there's always the chance that it has happened in some time. And if it were, it would probably be my wife's, which, you know, that's not a terrible thing, you know.
So, chances are you guys have shared some germs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, we have, yeah.
Mel?
I think I have.
Yeah.
I washed it first.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
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 But I definitely have. Have you done this, though? Because it's happened to me at least once or twice, and each time it's exactly what Seth was saying. I'm brushing my teeth, looking in the mirror, and I'm like, that's not my toothbrush. Wait a minute. That's exactly how it's happened to me at least both times. So I definitely have, I will say. I have 58% say I have never, and 42% say that they have.
There's some honest people there. Yeah. I think everyone says, yeah, I've had to do it sometimes.
That was fun. That was a good one.
That was good.
I think that we're going to look for more of these. Keep an eye out for those. When we come back, I want to get into this 12 dishes of Christmas and the way that they tie into a wonderful Polish tradition.
That's cool.
It'll be having that coming back. We come get back on Mornings on WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back to the Morning Show here on WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. James, Seth, Melissa, all here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there. Our next story comes to us from the great Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, one of my favorite papers. I want to send a shout out to Joanna Kepinger-Dembski for the great reporting on this one. And Melissa, I want to dive into this story with you about that you sent over about how the 12 dishes of Christmas are all in one day of Wigilia, a Polish tradition.
Yeah.
Would you mind leading this this story? Because I only read bits and pieces of it. I did not get a chance to read the complete article, but I found what I read fascinating.
Yeah, so this is a tradition in Polish households, and this it's steeped in symbolism. This is a century-old Christmas Eve vigil that is marked in Poland and by Christians of Polish descent everywhere. So the dinner must consist of 12 dishes, and all of them have to be meatless.
Oh, wow.
And by meatless, they mean no meat besides fish.
Okay.
Because Jesus could only eat fish.
Oh, gotcha.
Makes sense.
Okay.
So the second part of this tradition is that an extra empty chair needs to be at the table. So traditionally, the number of dishes served was 13 for the 12 apostles and then Christ. These days, most commonly, they have 12 dishes for the 12 apostles. And then they have one empty chair at the table for anybody who happens to stop by at Christmas Eve. They're welcome to sit down for dinner. It's for unexpected guests or strangers.
How about that? That's really cool.
So it's a time of restraint in spite of the fact that they're serving 12 dishes. So traditionally they fast and you eat just like one simple meal and avoid meat that day. The Wigilia is about family sharing and sacrifice. And then they also they do other little things as well for this day. They put hay under the tablecloth to represent the manger. And the oplatek. It's a thin baked wafer that's brought out, and it's shared amongst the guests before the meal starts. So they extend wishes of happiness and prosperity for the year ahead, and they think that these wishes by sharing will come true by sharing this wafer. So they make wishes, and then they share the wafer, and their wishes will come true. So they get a taste of each of the 12 dishes, and then after the meal, gifts are exchanged.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah. And the what they make for this traditional meal, because 12 dishes without meat, I mean, talk to most of us. I don't know if you could name 12 dishes for me without meat.
Right.
No, I probably couldn't.
Not even close.
So they often will serve things like red borscht with mushroom dumplings, cabbage with mushrooms, carp, mushroom and cabbage pierogies, herring, mushroom soup. You're seeing kind of a theme here.
Yes.
There's a lot of cabbage and a lot of mushrooms. But those are two things that are typically readily available in Poland.
Mm-hmm. Okay, makes sense.
And a lot of people had gardens, and there's a lot of forests, mm-hmm. so that's hence the mushrooms,
yep.
and then the gardens for the cabbage. And so mushroom soup, though, like there's a couple pictures in here of them making mushroom soup, and mushroom makes such an amazing soup base.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Like adding mushroom broth. Like I found a mushroom bouillon a while back, mm-hmm. and I was adding that to my soups as I was making them. It adds such an amazing flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It's just robust. And if you look at a lot of vegetarian or vegan meals, they rely really heavily on mushrooms because they're actually a good meat replacement in a
exactly.
lot of dishes.
That's what I was going to say, because mushrooms have a certain consistency that's more meat-like. Mm-hmm. That's why it's used as a substitute for a lot of meats, like you just said. So, yeah, it makes sense. Yep. Not only was it abundant, but it also helps, you know.
flesh out your meals, so
flesh,
to speak.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Nice. Pun intended.
Oh,
pun intended.
God, that was good.
So pierogies are obviously a very traditional Polish food.
Love pierogies.
They're so good.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so versatile, too. You can serve them with so many different sauces mm-hmm. and a lot of different bases, because it's basically just dough and potato.
Exactly.
Mm. So then another traditional is sauerkraut with mushrooms, red borscht, baked fish or fried fish, vegetable salad, fruit juice made from steamed fruits, gingerbread cake, herring. So it just depends, because region by region, there's different traditions in different families.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
But I like borscht. Have you guys ever had it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say I don't think I have.
Oh, really?
And I'm really sad about that, actually, because I want to try it.
You haven't? Wow.
Yeah, look at that.
Mark that on the calendar.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the soup is red because of beets.
Mm-hmm, right.
So it's a beet-based soup, but the secret ingredient in it, or at least according to what I read a long time ago now, because I haven't made it in a while, is the addition of marjoram spice, which is really underutilized.
It is. Although I do know, I have noticed that a lot of Eastern European recipes, marjoram is used quite a bit. And connecting that, because German too, I think that's another spice that's used more in like the eastern part of Germany. If I am correct, I may be wrong on that. But
yeah, and borscht is actually of Ukrainian origin.
It is.
Oh,
well, it
cool.
is very popular over there in Russia and Ukraine and other Eastern European countries. Obviously, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beets are a very prolific crop.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, you get a lot from a little with a beet.
Right.
So it's and it's a delicious soup.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the color is just so fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm such a thank you so much, Melissa. Thank you
great.
Very, very, very
oh,
much
yeah,
for
absolutely.
That. That was really cool. I really appreciate that, especially coming from the way that you were able to kind of tie the story all together and synopsis that. I'm such a sucker for symbolism. Like, I really do like traditions and holidays and symbolism inside of them. And just the little things like the hay under the tablecloth to represent the manger, you know. The
very
not,
cool.
Not having meat because of Jesus and that. Like, I don't know. Some of this stuff is not my wheelhouse, obviously. So it's maybe I romanticize it a bit in my head. I don't know. But I just find it very beautiful and very, like, you know, really making the season, really making this time of year what it's meant to be, you know, traditionally meant to be brought about.
And the symbolism
bring out
and
of
tradition.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love seeing different cultures how they do that, especially this time of year, because it's so like symbolic, so heavy in symbolism, and I think it's really interesting, you know, just to see what all the different backgrounds for what different traditions came to be, you know, prevalent in that area.
Mm-hmm. The awesome thing about this article is that they include some traditional recipes for like the mushroom soup that's made for Wagilia. And what's the other one here? George Brzezinski's potato salad.
Wow! If you got a potato salad named after you, man, that's pretty good.
Well, and it's a little on the edges there. It includes dill pickle, sweet apples, green peas, radish. along with all of your traditional potato salad-y things.
Wow, so. Interesting. Mm, yeah, interesting.
Very interesting. My Nana was raised near a Polish ghetto, and all of her best friends growing up were like real Polish, like immigrant Polish kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So she almost spoke like it was a bit broken, but almost fluent Polish, and knew a lot of Polish like cuisine and that. Mm-hmm. I have to say, there ain't many funnier things than hearing a little Dago woman try to talk Polish like with that accent. It was great. It was great.
Well, we have a large Polish population in our state. Mm-hmm.
We do. It's
like
true.
In the Nasita area, there's a lot of Polish people that live there.
A lot of unpronounceable names, yes.
Yes, yes.
Wonderful people, though.
Of course. Absolutely. Of course.
Yes.
Well, that was almost a mini kitchen is open there.
It was.
The fridge is open, I guess, for this one.
There you go.
I would like to put out to the audience, if anybody does this celebration, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear you know, how it is for you and how you do this and where you learn the traditions from and everything. Because I would love to hear more about this, like from somebody that really does practice it.
Exactly.
Does celebrate
that'd
everything.
Be fun.
And there are a few places that serve a public Wigalia dinner down in Milwaukee, mostly, that I've
Makes
seen
sense.
Here. Mm-hmm. But that's cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. That is, I mean, that... Especially, you know, say you don't want to cook. Like, you're not, you know, you just want to, like, in this
especially
food.
12 dishes.
Yeah. That's pretty darn cool.
That's very cool.
This is really putting your money where your mouth is. You know, really, really making the tradition what it is, you know? I like that one. That was good.
Very good.
Before we go to Melissa's news, I did want to mention again that Aspire's Riverview home delivery meals are canceled for today and tomorrow. The Aging and Disability Resource Center have canceled meal services for today. And Focus Food Pantry is closed for today. And we did just get an email just a little bit ago from our good friends over there at the neighborhood table asking if we could share that Focus Neighborhood Meals will be closed tomorrow also. And due to weather, their first meal has been delayed twice now, hoping weather cooperates on the 29th so that they can serve our first in-house meal and on our 19th anniversary.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Awesome.
I remember hearing that they were back. They're trying to get back into the building now that everything's set and they're all moved into their great space. I just want to say real quick, my family and I volunteered on Tuesday at SWEPS, which I would say if you have the ability to do that, because they only have one evening a week. Otherwise, it's during the day, so it's kind of hard for people to do it. It is a great volunteer opportunity. My whole family, we had tons of fun there. There's great people. Go check it out. You have a great staff there. Dale, of course, who runs it. He's wonderful.
Yeah, great guy.
So if you have a chance to do that, I recommend it because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, right on. And good on you guys for doing that, Seth. That's awesome. We're going to take a quick break, get to Melissa's news, come back and have some more fun. We're going to talk about a hippo and a tortoise.
Okay.
Just love throwing those things out there. Let your guys' minds wander. Your imaginations grow. What? James has lost it.
Oh, man. Long time ago. I know what you're talking about.
Long time ago. Lost those marbles a long time ago. We'll take a break. We'll come back, have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Mornings on WFHR.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
While the merry bells keep ringing, happy holiday to you.
Happy holiday.
Really a classic, right?
Yes, it is. I love Andy Williams.
Yeah. Just a classic voice.
And not Michael McDonald.
You go to bed. Welcome back to The Morning Show here on WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. And you guys, I heard a joke the other day. One of my students said that I thought was pretty good. A rabbi, a pastor, and a priest walk into a bar. The bartender looks at him and says, "What is this, a joke?"
Yes, that's a classic.
It's a great one. It's classic. It's a great one. I'd never heard that one before.
Oh, really?
I loved it. Oh, yeah. I hadn't heard that one. I loved it. So
I thought I lived under a rock.
right. A hippo and a tortoise walk into a bar. No, kind of like a little bit of where our story is going to go here.
Okay.
And it comes to us from NPR, and a big shout out to them. It may sound like a fable or a fairy tale. The main characters are an orphaned baby hippopotamus and a 130-year-old giant tortoise. The hippo was rescued from a natural disaster of biblical proportions, and the tortoise was meant to be dinner a century ago. Wow. But the story of Owen the hippo and Mizzy the tortoise is absolutely true. The animals are both the wards of Dr. Paula Kamilaba, general manager of the Lafarge ecosystem, which runs a sanctuary in Kenya.
Hmm.
She tells Jennifer Ludden the story of a highly unlikely friendship in the children's book she helped write to tell the tale.
Oh, cool.
December 26, 2004, started off as a normal quiet day. Her son, Joshua, and her were out for a morning walk along the beach in front of their home when suddenly the sea began to race in. Within minutes, the ocean became threatening. The tide had risen well beyond high water mark. At that instant, it became apparent that the tsunami that had nearly started 4,000 miles away, far out from the Indian Ocean, would impact them as well.
Wow.
In less than 12 hours, the tsunami had finally reached the coast of Africa from its point of origin in Banda. Wow. They ran from the beach back home to their house where her sister and children were waiting for them. They were all crying and having such a had just seen on television the haunting images of the devastating Indian Ocean tsunami.
Wow.
Although they escaped the waves, a 1-year-old hippopotamus 80 kilometers away was not so lucky. Just before Christmas, the unnecessarily heavy rains near Malbi town washed a family of hippopotamuses down the Sadaki River and out to sea.
Oh, no.
The residents of the town tried to in vain to urge the family back up the estuary. When the tsunami hit Malundi, the sea turned angry, the sky clouded over, and for a moment, the hippos disappeared and were forgotten as all efforts went to rescuing the strained fishermen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The next day, only one hippo could be seen. It was the baby, and he was stranded on the reef.
Wow.
Hundreds of people came to watch the efforts to rescue the hippo. It took ropes, boats, nets, and cars. Though the hippo was tired, he was still fast and slippery. It took a brave rugby tackle to finally capture him.
Wow.
And the cheering of the crowd could be heard from over a kilometer away.
Wow.
Lafarge Ecosystem agreed to provide a home for the baby hippo, and she rushed to Malindi to collect him. Tangled in fishing ropes and angry and tired, the hippo did not seem to appreciate the rescue at all.
No.
As they left Mumbai, the crowd unanimously agreed to name him Owen in honor of the volunteer who tackled him to the ground.
Very cool.
Exhausted and confused and extremely frightened, Owen immediately ran to the safety of a giant tortoise when he was released in Haller Park. Mazzy, the 130-year-old tortoise, just happened to be nearby. And he was very surprised by Owen and Owen's odd behavior, cowering behind him as a baby hippo does to its mother.
Oh, wow.
Now, if you know about hippos in the wild, you notice in every documentary you've ever seen, the baby is always behind.
Hiding. Mm-hmm.
Hiding, yeah. Yes. That's a protection thing.
Yep,
that's
safety
a,
thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is what he was doing, even though obviously the tortoise is not going to be able
to cover him up, yeah.
Mizzy quickly came to terms with his new friend and even returned signs of affection. The unusual relationship between this baby hippo and the ancient tortoise amazed people the world over and has featured in most countries on television and the newspapers. Owen and Mizzy continued to spend their days together in the pond, feeding and patrolling. Owen nudges Mizzy to come for walks, and Mizzy sometimes even follows Owen. Hundreds of people have witnessed this incredible spectacle firsthand at Haller Park, which is open every day to the public. Owen will eventually be moved to a bigger pond in Haller Park where he can socialize with other hippos, but that probably won't be before Mizzy passes.
Yeah, exactly.
That probably won't happen until then.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is just a really cool story. It's a sweet story. It's a good story of the day. It also, what excuse do we have?
Exactly.
These two can't even talk to each other. They're two literal different species.
Yeah.
We're the same species.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk to each other. What excuse do we have for not getting along?
Yeah.
Any of us.
That's a great point.
We have none. No excuse. None whatsoever. And you are shown that. Right in your face, no getting around it. You can't look past it with these two creatures.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
along with the millions of other stories there are like this of a bear and a tiger becoming friends, or you know, any of these things. I've seen a duck and a dog. There are like there's this farm somewhere out in Montana where this duck and dog have been friends for years, and they do everything together. So
that's great.
We have literally no excuse, none. whatsoever to not get along. I'm not saying we all got to be best friends and sing Kumbaya. I mean, just to get along with each other, just to give each other grace.
Respect each other's humanness. Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, and sometimes that just takes time. So in the defense of this particular situation, the tortoise couldn't get away fast enough to, you know, not figure out that the hippo was a nice dude.
Yeah, that's true. So if we were all a lot slower. No.
Yeah, that's right. And that's honestly the truth, though. Take a breath, take a moment, try to connect and get to know people before you judge them just right off the bat.
Oh, yeah. You know it.
One more time, I want to thank the great reporter Jennifer Ludden. I've read her work for many years. She's very good at what she does. You can hear her on All Things Considered, of course, that great program on that you don't want to listen to when we're on the air.
That's right.
A big shout out to them, though. I love their reporting. Do great stuff over there. We'll take a break right here. Come back and have some more fun on mornings at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Jennifer's got such a great last name, Wojcicki. I love the way she says it. I love the way she says that.
Wojcicki. Speaking of Polish people.
We're going to get into some good stories of the day in a moment, but real quickly, I did want to remind the audience, and Seth and I are going to dive into this a little bit more tomorrow, about our 30 Days of Christmas. Part of that is some of our own original programming. We're going to have Seth Faces the Music.
Yes.
Now, are you going to have a Christmas themed episode?
You better believe
it. I thought so. Okay.
A lot of fun Christmas songs, some comedy, little comedy Christmas skits and
nice.
Stuff.
Ooh.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
That'll be really cool. Yeah. And you can, of course, catch that 6 to 8 on Sunday.
On Sunday, on Christmas Day.
On Christmas Day.
Oh. Yeah.
And after that. Yeah. A holiday episode of Director's Cut.
Yes, indeed.
And by holiday episode, it's basically a deleted scene from the morning show. That's what it is, deleted scenes from the morning show, because we're getting the James gang together here.
Yep.
Melissa's going to join Seth and I on the show. I'm so thankful to that. Melissa, I appreciate you doing that.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
We are going to talk, first up, we've been talking about this for a while. You guys got to bring to the table your top five holidays.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we'll start the show. We're going to get into our top five holidays.
Yep.
And after that, I want to get into some of the stranger holiday movies that are out there. If we have time, celebrity Christmas albums we forgot about.
Oh, good. Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh.
Most overplayed Christmas songs. Maybe we'll get that one in there, too. But it's going to be a holiday-themed episode.
I will be priming you for that one, because I do believe I have a song, Christmas song, by one William Shatner.
Ooh.
And Seth Faces the Music. Oh, yes.
Okay. All right.
Enjoy
That's great.
It. Yep.
That's great. And I'll have a chance to mention Hebrew Hammer. So we're going to win. That's going to be good.
Seth, is this the spoken one?
Oh, yes. That's all he does. Yes, absolutely. Okay. It's Silver Bells, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Silver Bells.
Yeah, basically.
Silver Bells.
You're right on.
So silver.
You can't really parody William Shatner. He does it himself.
He does it.
He parodies himself.
Really
so
I say it all the time about him. Nobody has done more with less with their career, and I say that with all respect in the world. Mm-hmm. I am a big Shatner fan. Mm-hmm. I think he is talented. I don't think anybody, you know, when he was starting out, had him having Grammys and
not the way he did it.
And stuff. Yeah. Couple of good stories of the day here for you. This one comes to us from the Good News Network. Frantic trucker miraculously reunited with cat co-pilot after posting photos to obscure online forum.
Okay.
We're doing this article for two reasons. One, that headline.
Yeah, that's a great headline.
That's a great headline. And it's just a good story. A 23-year-old trucker who was sick and worry that when his beloved cat co-pilot went missing, but incredibly, an obscure online forum helped to reunite with them with 24 hours. The forum was a podcast normally a podcast, but they did like a special episode where he jumped on there and just asked people in the Los Angeles area, hey, have you seen this cat? And not thinking ever that he would ever, just had to try, to at least put it out there. And he did.
Oh, my gosh.
And he actually found the cat. And I will say that not just as an animal person, I mm-hmm. like animals and everything. My papa being a trucker, I know how important these things are to them.
Yeah.
I would think almost anybody could imagine how important it is. It doesn't take that background to be able to, you know, put that together.
Exactly.
And it is pretty cool, though.
I agree.
That was a good story.
That's a good story.
So remember when the owner of the clothing brand Patagonia announced that he was donating his company to a nonprofit a couple months ago?
Yes.
Yes.
The owner of Hobby Lobby also announced that they were going to be doing something very similar.
Nice.
No way.
Yeah.
Is that surprising?
That is surprising. That's,
yeah.
Yeah. Very, very surprising. I got to look more into that, too. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, you know, seem like I don't believe them or anything like that, but I need to look a little bit more into that. A 59-year-old in Virginia named Todd Rowan was walking on the beach with his wife last month when he had a heart attack.
No.
But two surfers did CPR and saved him.
All right.
Awesome.
One was a guy named Tyler who works as a physician's assistant, and Todd got to meet up with him the other day to thank him in person.
Oh, that's wonderful. Cool.
A great-grandmother stopped a purse thief in Oakland, California. They were trying to steal her neighbor's bag, but she ran in, threw her cane at their car, and scared them off.
Way to go, Grandma.
Wow, that's awesome.
That lady's tough.
I was going to say, that lady's got some stories to tell, I'll bet.
This is not the first time she's done something like this.
It doesn't sound like it, no.
Yeah, this woman has been doing stuff like this her whole life, I guarantee.
Oh, man.
A woman in North Carolina posted a video of her dad who has early onset dementia, and it's heartbreaking, but inspiring, too. He can't remember he's her father and says it freaks him out when she calls him dad. But he can feel she's someone important to him and doesn't want to hurt her feelings. She says it's okay and offers to call him Scott now. Then it ends with him telling her, I love you.
Aww.
It's hard to watch.
It is.
Especially if you've been through this and experienced this.
Yep.
Maybe the most, outside of my mom and dad, the most important person in my life was my Nana and Papa. And my Nana, the last time she saw me, called me my Uncle Anthony.
Yep.
And it'll always stay with me. But I've grown over the years with that moment and replaying it, I'm so thankful that I had that moment with her. Mm-hmm. I had one more moment with her. I don't care if she called me, you know, late for dinner or whatever.
Yeah, right.
She recognized me. She smiled at me, and she's, you know, said that.
I the same thing happened with my Aunt Karen. The last time I saw her, I'm pretty sure she thought I was my dad.
Yeah.
And but she was all smile. I mean, it was a wonderful visit, even though she wasn't sure who me and my family were. Mm-hmm. But just to be able to have that moment was just, it means the world to me.
Yeah. A whole community in Carolina Beach, North Carolina, gathered a couple Tuesdays ago to celebrate a woman's 100th birthday. They sang happy birthday while she watched from her balcony. The mayor gave her a key to the city, and they declared that that October 25th will forever be Mary Underwood Day.
Very good.
Nice.
Very good.
I love the idea of like 30, 40 years from then. And they're like, who's this Mary Underwood?
Yeah.
And then they get to tell the story of who Mary Underwood is.
You know, exactly. Who's Mary Underwood?
It's pretty cool. A kid in Raleigh, North Carolina, was fighting cancer 6 years ago and designed a haunted house from his hospital bed. Now he puts it on every year to raise money for a charity called Give Kids the World.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
That's a great
idea. That's a great use of your time. Very creative.
Yeah.
And if you were following along with the coal miner, this happened a couple months back. There was a coal miner who showed up to a University of Kentucky basketball game. And he wanted to see his son play.
Oh, I heard the story, yeah.
He came straight from work to be there with his son, and he was covered in coal dust. And the team was touched by it and offered free tickets to any game this season. He chose a game against Kansas in January. It's coming up here in a little bit. That's why the story's coming back up.
Yep.
And a bunch of businesses in Lexington also offered his family free meals and a hotel room while they were in town.
How nice.
That's awesome.
That's wonderful.
I've seen a lot of stories about this and reporting about this. One thing I have not seen a lot of people talk about, I saw nothing on social media making fun of this gentleman.
No.
I saw nobody. I think that that stands, like, nowadays, that's pretty impressive. Like,
that's very odd, to be sure, yes.
You don't want to give people credit for doing the right thing, but at the same time, like, I mean, we all know social media nowadays, and yeah. I thought that was pretty cool to see that, you know, people weren't making fun of the way, you know, how he was mm-hmm. dressed or any of this stuff and everything. I thought
yeah,
that was impressive.
Yeah, that he came covered in coal dust.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Melissa, I believe this is your last show with us before Christmas.
I think so.
We want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. Enjoy your time with friends and yes. family. Be safe.
Yep.
If you have extra baked goods, bring them to us.
And yes, Melissa, have a very Merry Christmas and enjoy your very short time as the right hand. Very short time.
We'll see if I give it up, Seth.
You are you're the best, Melissa. We appreciate you. You enjoy your day.
You too. Merry Christmas, you guys.
Merry Christmas.
We'll be back with more coming up Morning Magazine right here on WFHR Locally Grown Radio.